In this program, we will be addressing a most interesting issue of the teenage years and probably one of the most difficult ones to stay immune from, the issue of dating. Let's listen to the question that was asked of Father Athanasios. And the question goes something like this. Why is a boy-girl relationship with nothing serious taking place considered sinful? Of course, once again, we answered this question last year because a lot of you were posing similar questions, and we summarized all of them together and had a lengthy discussion on them. So I will only touch on a certain point here, and especially on a point that some people have the impression that if nothing bad happens, and to simply have a relationship, which of course is so fashionable and so suggested and so unavoidable in our days, and the mentality of our times, that this type of thing is not sinful and it's recommended and suggested by our peers. Someone could say, where do you see anything wrong? A girl could very easily state this to her parents, or even to her spiritual father, or to simply pose this question as we have here. What do you see any type of sin? It seems so natural for people to begin to have affection and have feelings for each other. So couldn't I have feelings or a relationship or someone to date? What would be so wrong with this type of thing? So my young friends, I would like you to understand very well and very clearly the human nature. I would like you to understand it because we ignore the human psychology and we're also ignorant of our passionate nature. We do not realize and we simply fail to understand that we are the fallen men. We are not invulnerable. We are not like the angels. And at the moment that we inherited the tendency towards evil, which tendency we must always battle and struggle against, we must struggle against this tendency. This is our lot. You realize that we cannot talk about, let's say, a freedom of relationships or begin to experiment because we would quickly fall into sin. We must understand this once and for all, not only in the relations between the sexes, but in every type of sin, in everything that could become sinful and where the sin could turn into a passion. Because what is the difference of a sin and a passion? Sin is simply the violation of God's laws, simply lawlessness. Now, when a sin persists and it is repeated over and over and over again, then it transforms into a passion. And a passion does not go away easily. It is very hard to stop. We must be very careful. And we must know human nature, and I repeat, it is our fallen nature, our broken and vulnerable nature. It is not the same that was created from the hands of our Creator, of our God. Here I could tell you, because sometimes I get the chance to listen to the talks of some psychologists on the radio. They interest me from the standpoint of becoming familiar with the things that you hear, so I can be somewhat prepared and answer you. So I noticed one day, in particular, there were several psychologists, and one in particular was giving some advice to the teenagers on how to face their final exams, the equivalent to our SATs, I guess. Of course, from what he told them, a lot of points were very good and helpful, at least enough anyhow. But in continuing, he added, take care and don't worry even if you didn't do good at your exams, even if you happen to fail, or if you got overly tired from your studies, just relax a little bit, turn on some modern music, or go out and meet your girlfriend, and so on and so forth. And a person here can see that the psychologists don't always give the right advice, at least spiritually, but the most important point, which unfortunately they don't realize and they cannot know, being a matter of spirituality and a matter of divine revelation, is the following. They don't realize that they are dealing with a human being, the sick and vulnerable human being, or the terribly troublesome person of the fallen men. Psychologists do not know this because they don't accept that some time ago men fell. In other words, our forefather Adam fell, and since then we carry with us many unclean and improper passions, weaknesses, tendencies, etc. And of course, they don't know this type of thing. And if they don't, they don't believe it. You must be Christian to accept this type of thing. So we don't have the pure nature of men. We have the fallen nature of Adam, the powerless and sickened and vulnerable nature, which is in danger at every moment. Therefore, as we watch out for a person who is highly allergic or sickly from the drafts and weather changes, in the same manner, each individual should watch out for his human nature in the presence of situations that could possibly lead him to sin. And when we say we must guard ourselves, it does not mean to watch out so I don't carry out this or that unethical deed, but I must watch out from the environment where this type of thing could take place. Because the environment or the surroundings of this type of thing are the causes of sin. And the causes of sin is to find a boyfriend or a girlfriend to date and to go together, to study together and share our problems. These are the surroundings. They are the causes which will push me to the realization of the sin. To avoid being repetitious and for you to always remember this point, I will present you with a superb example on this type of thing from the Old Testament. And this example was used by our Lord himself, reminding people of this example. And he says, remember Lot's wife and what happened in the story of Lot. So having the Lord pointing this out, what could be a better reason to hear this? So let's listen. As you know, Sodom and Gomorrah and three other cities were horrible cities. Sin was running rampant and was literally running in the streets, and sin was everywhere. Sin went so far that it could go no farther. In other words, nothing could get any worse. The cup start running over, so to speak, and this was an awful sin. Sodomy, still called to this day. Actually, it's the same sin that has been somewhat legalized in our days, and it is this type of alternate lifestyle that everybody is pushing us to accept. Homosexuality is a dreadful sin, and this is the type of sin that runs over the cup of the wrath of God. So once again, back in Sodom and Gomorrah, two angels appear to save Lot's family from the terrible punishment which was ready to take place in this city. Actually, it was a conglomeration of five cities or pentapolis. And the angels give this order to Lot, Genesis 19:17, save your life. Do not look back. Do not stay in any of the surroundings. On the mountains, save yourself, lest you also become consumed by fire. Three conditions for the salvation of Lot. When he tells him, take care to save yourself, he also tells him, Well, this will serve as an answer to another one of your questions coming up. How do I develop a stronger spiritual life? Or how will I be saved? How will I be saved? Okay, condition number one. Never look back. Never turn back. Lot's wife turned back and became a pillar of salt. This is interpreted by one teacher, namely Mr. Vulgaris, who comments on this message of our Lord. If you look back, you're actually looking back into your old life and your past. Even though you've repented, went to confession, you are still in love and flirt with your past. You are looking back. The Lord talks on this exact point. Nobody who put his hand on a plow and is plowing and turns back, he cannot make a straight furrow, and thus he's not qualified for the kingdom of heaven. This is a very picturesque example. Do we see this? If we look back, when we flirt with our past, many times, let's say when we come home and we lay down, tired or not, and we sit in our office or on our sofa and read a magazine or the paper, and we imagine a person from our past with whom we had some kind of a relationship. And all of a sudden, our imagination takes over, and we begin to daydream and have nice, warm feelings and thoughts about this person of our past, of what happened, how, and where. In other words, we flirt with old images and past activities. If we do this, we will become a pillar of salt. In other words, we will waste away, turn into stone, so to speak. Our heart will turn into stone spiritually. We will not be saved. No way. Condition number two, do not stand or stay in any of the surroundings. And again, Mr. Evgenios Vulgaris, Bible interpreter, says that the city is the sin and the surroundings are the causes of sin. And the important thing is that salvation does not exist either in the city or the surroundings. In other words, not in the sin itself or in its causes. The question refers to, can I have a relationship? And this is the surroundings. You will not be able to stay at that. And we can rephrase the question. Can I have friends that constantly drink, even though I don't drink? No, because sooner or later, you'll begin to drink. Can I have friends that smoke and do drugs? No, because sooner or later, you will begin to do drugs. Again, we become like the company we keep. And this is the surroundings. We will not be able to stay at that. Let's not keep ourselves there because there's no salvation there. We will surely destroy ourselves quickly. Look at the people that last year had a similar relationship, how more involved and how far that relationship went. Look at your classmates and people that get tangled in these adventures, how fast things change. Many things change. The attitude, the way we think, we get involved into a number of circumstances. This will become obvious to you and you will see these types of things. So I cannot play games. I must avoid the cause and the deed. The deed and the cause. At condition number three, on the mountain you will be saved. And the mountain which will save me is my elevation to a spiritual life. I must advance and make spiritual progress. This is the positive side of the spiritual struggle. I will keep struggling so I don't become enslaved or caught up in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. This is what I have to say to the person that provided this question, and I repeat once again, no, we cannot have relations in whatever form outside of a simple hello. Nothing more than that. At least, that's what the language of the gospel tells us. Now, what the world tells you, that's a different story. Again, no walks, no meetings, no dates, no get-togethers at different spots, soda shops, etc., or downtown. None of that. And now we come to our second question, which pleases me. With which practical ways and methods can we teenage girls increase spiritually? Here, this person would like to become more spiritual. My friends, these are things that we know and should know. We must have active participation in the church sacraments. We must study the Word of God and also hear the Word of God. Why do you think we do all these things? Do you think that this is to simply pass time? Believe me, if this was just for kicks, I would not show up here at this time to do all this. No way. Our time could be used differently. But the study and the listening of the Word of God, it is a most substantial element. Also, prayer is necessary. We must learn how to pray. But also, we must be strong enough to stand firm against the way of the world and peer pressure. St. John the Evangelist beautifully says this on his first epistle, chapter 5, verse 4, and chapter 2:13, when he says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. In the world, there's arrogance, desire, and lust of the eyes, and so on. Do not love the world. Tell yourselves, this is how the world is. Let it follow the path that it chose. Let it go on its way. But I will follow my path, the path to eternity. I will not follow the same way because I will not walk along with the world. Because when I walk with the world, I become an enemy of God." And what is the thing that made you victorious over the world? Your faith. Who is he who is victorious over the world? He who believes 100% with all his heart that Christ is the Son of God. I write to you teenagers that you beat the evil one. Boys and girls, I write to you because you overcame the evil one. And how was this done? With your faith in the person of Jesus Christ. I must tell you that here it is not possible for someone to have a set of rules or a how-to book or a set of regulations or advice, 1, 2, 3, on how to live a Christian life. It takes a great deal of work and persistence and prayer to develop the entire spectrum of our Christian life. We must watch out the whole stairway of the Christian faith along with the dogmas or beliefs of our faith. If I know that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, then it'll certainly help me not to surrender it to sin. I also must know that a bodily sin is one of the 7 deadly sins. And when a sin of this type goes unconfessed, it renders the body incapable for the kingdom of God. Again, a body that dies with these types of sins will resurrect at the second coming of Christ, but it will not be able to enter the kingdom of God because this body is polluted and the Holy Spirit cannot stay on this body. However, through the mercy of our Lord, and by going to the sacrament of holy confession, we can once again be as white as snow. Again, this is true for every sin. For instance, when I know that a lie offends the body of Christ, according to St. Paul, do not lie to each other, because we are parts of each other. We serve together the members of the same body, the body of Christ. So we cannot lie to each other, just like my hand or my foot does not lie and it gives the exact messages to my brain, just like my eye or my ear gives the right information and I can maneuver according to the information that's applied to my brain. In the same manner, I cannot lie to another person because he's a member of the body of Christ. So when I have my dogmatic stability, learn about the beliefs of my church, when I learn the matters of a spiritual life and I strive in all endeavors of my life without rationalizations, without excuses, and without picking and choosing this or that of the laws of God, then with no doubt I will progress and walk the right path. Naturally, it is extremely important that I have a spiritual father to consult and get advice from him regularly, if necessary, on a daily basis to help me with my daily walk. God bless you.
Thank you. Together, my friend.